Welcome in to the April 18th edition of Impact Sports Daily. I am your host, Jack David, alongside my co-host, Matt Corey. How are you doing today, Matt?
I'm doing okay.
Finals. Yeah, it's finals week. This will be the last episode of Impact Sports Daily for this school year, for this semester. Finals week's next week. Everyone's stressing out. A lot of, you know, exciting but also stressful things on the horizon for us here at Impact. But let's get right into it. And we talk about stress. I can't, you know, convey the amount of stress that we both felt because we were both together for this with the end of the Red Wings game. If you have not seen it, absolute insane. I believe Perrin scored with 3 seconds left, correct?
Yep.
Larkin won the faceoff, got it out, got it to Perrin in the middle of the ice near the blue line, 52-footer to send it pretty much to overtime. That overtime didn't come up with anything, and then it went to a shootout where, of course, Patrick Kane gets the shootout winner of the last attempt of the shootout. But
in probably the least happy shootout victory I've ever seen.
Yes.
Just not a single reaction from any of the players.
It seems like they
already
knew.
Found out right before the shootout is what I've heard, is when they found out that they were eliminated from the playoffs regardless of the outcome of the game.
Yes. The Capitals beat the Philadelphia Flyers 2-1, I believe the score was. And it was 1-1 for the vast majority of that game, but deep into that third quarter, Philly pulled their goalie. So Washington was able to capitalize, no pun intended, on that.
Philly needed to win it in regulation, and their coach said that he was unaware that the Red Wings had sent it to overtime prior to pulling his goalie, and they were just trying to do what they had to do to get in.
Yeah.
Believe what you will on if he knew or not.
Yeah.
But it's what happened. I mean, honestly, it was a disappointing way for the season to end, but really, the Red Wings did it to themselves many times.
There's no one, the Wings can't blame anyone besides themselves because they were...
very recent games against the Penguins and the Capitals, dropped both of those games, and then you go back to that seven-game losing streak, I believe, that they went on, and...
That sounds right, yeah.
If they would have won any of those games, which I looked back at that seven-game losing streak, and they lost all of those games by two or more goals. So they weren't even really... competitive
close
losses, and I can't do that.
No, not really, especially when you come down to this stretch where every game matters, where they are, you know, right there for being in or being out for the playoffs. Once again, for what it feels like, it feels like a decade now, maybe not that long, but it's close to a decade of no playoff appearances for the Wings. What's next for this franchise? I mean, I know this year was... You don't want to say successful because they didn't make the playoffs, but you want to say they, you know, overachieved
from a growth standpoint. Yes. I think they did improve, but there's still a lot of work to be done. I mean, I've said it a few times already on this show that their first and second line really solid. A lot of, you know, obviously, give me more Lucas Raymond, please.
Yep. Raymond.
Try to re-sign Kane.
Team.
I like Kane as a
leader,
veteran,
leader,
somewhat
guy.
Leader, and also a, you know, a pretty good player coming off of that injury. And obviously, Larkin. I don't know if you saw his post-game interview. It's like his soul left his body.
I'm sure it's a brutal way to you do all of that. You know. Claw back, having, you know, near like miraculous goal with seconds left, and it was all for nothing. And we were both watching it together. We are part of a club called Sports Perspectives. We've talked about it before. And we were together because we have our meetings Tuesday at 8:30 to 10, and that's like pretty much exactly when the game was happening, and we were all together. We threw it up on the big screen and we watched it, and we were super excited. Like that moment, we talked about it. Like that was a great, like top 5 moment that we've had in Sports Perspectives, and legitimately less than a minute later, our friend, our mutual friend Rami, had the Philly game pulled up, and he was like, oh, Philly pulled their goalie in Washington's court. And so it's like, oh. So I can, that's how we felt. I can't even imagine how the players felt, especially since you said that they learned before the shootout.
Yep.
So like, it's like,
so they went into the shootout. You could tell. You could tell while they were shooting.
Even like going up to the goal, like just.
It was just so nonchalant. Patrick Kane with just the most casual shootout goal I've ever seen, I think. He just went up there and just kind of wrist shot. Putted in. His powerful wrist shot that he has and just flew it right by and skated off the ice like nothing had happened.
Yeah. So it's like, yeah, let's get this win. Let's call it a year. But yeah, I mean, hopefully good things on the horizon for the Red Wings. Like you said, Lucas Raymond, I feel like, has to be, you know,
really stepped up at the end. But
corner piece of this team.
But from a standpoint of looking at the season as a whole, this team's glaring issue was its defense all year long. Mm-hmm. One of the worst defensive teams pretty much in the league as far as goals like against them. And when they lost games, they lost them bad.
Not good. I mean, not close.
They lost that Penguins game, they lost 6-5. They've lost games this year where the other team has scored 7 goals. And you can't expect, because the offense has been pretty solid all year, especially in the later parts of the game for some reason. But you cannot rely on your offense to score 5 or 6 goals a game. And that's kind of felt like that was what they had to do in order to win these games. I mean, both of the games against Montreal, where the final score was 5-4. Mm-hmm. And then they beat the Maple Leafs 5-4. They lost to the Penguins 6-5. And then,
I mean, then you know, before that, there were some lower scoring games. But, I mean, you're completely right. Like,
just throughout the season, I mean,
either the Red Wings are scoring a lot or the team that they're playing is scoring a lot. And it's inconsistent with when that happens. So, you know, you got to get that fixed up because you cannot expect to, you know,
I mean, I'm make looking a Stanley at, Cup I'm looking push, at this,
let alone make the playoffs with that.
So. Yeah, that's been just the biggest issue. I mean, again, looking at this losing streak, they lost 5-3, 4-0, 7-2, 4-0 again, 5-3, 7-3.
These aren't close. These aren't close.
It is what it is. I mean, really, this wasn't a playoff team.
Not really.
You could tell at that point in the season that they weren't.
I think a lot of NHL fans wanted to see the Red Wings in over the Capitals.
Because they can get hot. I mean,
exactly.
This is a team that's offensively, talk about a wild card team.
Offensively fun. Defensively not fun.
And so I think, obviously, next year, the key to this team is find some more defensive depth. I mean, that's about it. I mean, that's pretty much what it comes down to. They get a lot more solid defensemen, maybe improve in the goalie area. I mean, Reimer and Lyon just were not it, especially at the end of the...
Yeah, harkening back to the amount of goals that sometimes teams can score on this team. So, I think you're completely right. You bring in some more quality defensemen. I think retaining Kane, I think, is really important. Obviously, if he wants to come back, that's kind of a question, too, if Kane even wants to come back to Detroit.
Yeah, there's definitely been some speculation on his...
No one really knows what he's going to do. But, yeah, I think bringing him back to have that defensive presence to try to build consistency, because I think that's another problem with this team this year, was the consistency. We talked about how defensively they aren't good, but then offensively they can, you know, go on a hot streak. So it's kind of, you know, going back and forth with a lot of these teams. They have a, you know, big tendency, especially late in the season, to, you know, have to crawl back into these games because they're down. So, yeah. All in all, I guess it was, you know, a relatively successful season. It's hard to say that since you didn't make the playoffs, but I don't know if the expectations were to make the playoffs. So, again, it'll be fun to watch this team. It'll be fun to watch Raymond, Larkin, you know, all of these young players, Sider, next year, and see what they can do from
there. Also,
got to bring it up.
I may be this may be a little bit of a biased take on this, but the last time a Detroit sports team like had this similar situation was the Lions a couple years ago, where they got eliminated right before that game against the Packers and ended up winning.
You don't say so. And that was the Lions had a heck of an end to that season. Like, they started off really bad and crawled their way right back into the playoff hunt, almost made it, like you said, beat the Packers, but obviously the Seahawks ended up going. And then the year after that, they make a NFC Championship push. So, not saying the Wings are going to make their conference championship game, but is that what we're saying?
It could be. I'm expecting some great improvement from this team this year.
It'll be fun to watch. It'll be fun to watch. I didn't watch a lot of Wings really at all this year. Watching that game winner, I can't lie, kind of hooked. Kind of want to, you know, follow this team next year. So, yeah, I'm sure next year, if Impact Sports Daily is going to be continuing next year, we'll have to see. It depends on a lot of things. But, yeah, if it does, we'll definitely talk about Wings then. Before we leave NHL, we have to kind of do a moment of silence. I mean, we're not going to do it like a moment of silence, but... the Arizona Coyotes, seems like they've played their last game as the Arizona Coyotes. Are they done as a franchise, or they're just moving?
They're moving to Salt Lake City.
Moving to Salt Lake City.
Going to Utah. The fans could not have been any more outraged at the game yesterday.
Sure.
The owner was not in attendance. Coward. Yep.
So, yeah.
I can't imagine how frustrating it is because...
Yeah,
all the people saying that
there's... Three Coyote fans are head over heels right now.
It's like, it's just kind of one of those things where this team's been around for a little while now. Enough that they do have somewhat of a... I don't know how to explain it because their fan base is not that big, but I don't think that moving to Utah is going to help that.
No. If you don't think there's going to be a big hockey presence in Arizona, which there's not going to be a big hockey presence in Utah. So,
but then again, I do see the outrage from the fans that are there. There was plans to make this big arena a couple years ago. They were saying big things are coming for them. They're going to try to build this franchise up, and then just all of a sudden they informed everyone that they're moving to Utah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like out of the blue, no way to indicate that was going to be the next move for them, and they just, we're just going to go to Utah, probably be the Utah Coyotes, which doesn't make any sense, or if they want to change the name, I doubt they change the name, but yeah, like, you could joke about how small the fan base is for the Coyotes, and, you know, it is small compared to other teams, but, I mean, that's always tough to take a sports team away from a city, and, I mean, I guess, like, those fans are just going to have to just keep supporting them, and even though they're in Utah, probably can't go to the games as much or at all anymore. But yeah, that's, you know, obviously it's sad for Arizona Coyote fans. See what's the next step for them. See what happens to that. You know, you don't want like a Atlanta Thrashers type thing where the team just like
disbands,
dissolves, liquidates into, you know, thin air. But yeah, so we'll hope the best for the Arizona Coyotes. Moving on to the NBA, we got some play-in tournament. Regular season is done. On to the playoffs. This is the playoffs technically, but it's the play-in to the playoffs. We'll start with some of the two games that happened on Tuesday. The first game was the Lakers versus the Pelicans. Lakers beat the Pelicans by 110 to 106. Lakers move on. They will play Denver in a 2-7 matchup, rematch of the Western Conference Championship Series last year. So that would be fun to watch. I think if there's any team that can really give Denver trouble besides, you know, the big, like, Thunder and the Wolves, I think the Lakers. It's just LeBron, AD, they stay healthy. Like, it's hard to, you know, not give them a chance.
Yeah, you can never really count LeBron out. I mean,
you can never count out my Pookie Bear, LeBron James. Anyways, the second game that happened on Tuesday, the Kings beat the Warriors 118 to 94.
The Kings thumped them.
They thumped them. It wasn't really ever close. The Kings will play the Pelicans tomorrow, which is Friday, and then the winner of that's going to play Oklahoma City, the one seed in the West. Question for you, Matt. Is this the end of the Warriors as we know them? Because there were some talks about, like, looking at Klay's body language as he's leaving the court, saying, like, that's, you know, that's the body language of someone who's done. Draymond's kind of in question. Steph's getting older. The new players that are kind of coming in and, you know, making their own, like Jonathan Kuminga, Brandon Podemski, I believe that's how you pronounce that, Pods. Is this like a new era of the Warriors that we're about to see? Are we going to see, like, you know, those old players that were the staples of those championship teams leave?
I am beginning to think so. Mm. I mean, this team kind of, they've had a weird, like, run these past few years. They had that one championship, and then the rest of it's just been missed the playoffs.
It's been weird.
They had that year where they won, like, what, 15 games or something?
Yeah, they had that terrible year, and then they drafted James Wiseman with their second pick.
And it's just been a really odd, kind of bizarre run for them these past few years. But this year especially felt like there was no...
There's nothing there. Like, even in the regular season.
You know, you throw it around, and it's like the team doesn't have aura anymore, for lack of a better word. I mean,
and they really don't.
This
team
used to be the team to watch, like the most Splash aura Bros. I've ever seen Splash on Bros. Any team, and now
just it's, banging threes. You know, but yeah, no, they don't really have that anymore. It's just kind of a bunch of old guys.
Klay,
I mean,
Klay shot 0-for-10.
Yeah, Klay is Draymond not at
all. Can't stay in the league without getting in trouble,
throwing fists. Yeah, Curry's Curry. I mean, he's getting older, but he's still, you know, somewhat himself, which is, you know, maybe the best point guard ever. So, but yeah, I agree. I don't know if Klay is going to be back next year. Draymond's weird, and I remember back to this happened a little while ago, probably like maybe a couple weeks ago, a month ago. Draymond got ejected from the game, and Curry was like really upset, like more upset than you would think that he would be, because you feel like he would be used to Draymond just, you know, doing antics. And that looked like the face of someone that knew that this wasn't going to be happening much longer. So, yeah. I mean, there's no indication right now, but
there are a lot of question marks. A
lot of questions around this team heading into next year. Moving on to the games, the two games that happened last night, the Philadelphia 76ers beat the Miami Heat 105-104. Did make a little comeback there. They're going to move on. They'll be the 2-7 matchup against the New York Knicks. So that's going to be really fun, because with Embiid, before he got injured, this team was around that 2-3 area seed. Obviously, they dropped down because Embiid was out for a ton of games. But yeah, that series against New York's going to be really interesting. And then in that game, Jimmy Butler got hurt. He will be out for the play-in. If they win the play-in, I don't know if he's going to be able to return at all. I believe he hurt his UCL, I believe.
It's a pretty brutal loss.
Pretty brutal loss, both, you know, on the court and to Jimmy Butler's knee. But other, yeah. And then lastly, the Chicago Bulls, shout out Josh Ryapan.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's happy about that. They beat the Hawks 131-116, and they will play the Heat on Friday. Winner of that will play Boston. And you have to think, I mean, Miami has players, but to lose Jimmy, especially in a playoff, you know, environment like playing games are, it's going to be a tough loss. It's a really tough loss.
Yeah. I don't know. This game's going to be weird. It is for sure going to be kind of an odd game, because the Bulls are one of those teams that it's like they're 39-43 on the year, and the Heat always turn up the Heat come mm-hmm. playoff time, but that's always thanks to Jimmy Butler. But I still do think that they have a decent chance to win that
game. Yeah, because, I mean, they still have Bam Adebayo, Tyler Herro, Triple J.
They're currently Miami's -1.5, really...
It's a toss-up.
Yeah.
So. I'm sure that line moved multiple points when Jimmy was declared out for it. But yeah, they have the coach. They still have players there. But I think this is what Miami gets for kind of waiting around during the regular season and, you know, maybe not giving the most effort and just kind of being like, oh, we can just, you know, slide into a 7 or an 8 seed and, you know, win our play-in games and try to make a run like they did last year, because it worked last year. They got all the way to the finals, nearly won it. But yeah, like you have to consider that if you're going to do that type of thing, that injuries can happen. They can happen whenever. They can happen to your best players like they did right here. And now they're going to have to go in and try to beat a, you know, pretty good Bulls team to go and face Boston. So yeah, that's going to do it for the NBA. We'll move on to some MLB now. Got to catch up on the Motor City Kitties, the Detroit Tigers. Today they play the Rangers, last game of their series. I believe it's the last game of their series. It's at 1:10, so that's actually in 17 minutes. We're 12:53 p.m. as we record this on this Thursday. They're down 2-1 in the series. The series before that, they beat the Twins 2-1 in that series. How are you feeling about this team so far? Like, anything really sticking out to you? I think we've, you know, mentioned, you know, weeks prior, like pitching and stuff like that. Is there like a player that's sticking out to you that he's doing really well? Is there a player that's sticking out to you that's not doing very well? Could be hitting, pitching.
The most of this team's offense has not been great.
No.
At all. And that's been kind of the glaring issue, because the pitching has been pretty solid for the most part.
Mm-hmm. Really, really solid.
Scooble's been doing his thing. Mize looked decent the other day.
Yeah. Don't want to talk about Kenta Maeda, who I believe is getting the start today, sadly. But, yeah, like, you're completely right.
But, I mean,
it's hard to pick a hitter that is standing out. I mean, Parker Meadows
finally got a home run yesterday. Yes.
Finally got a hit.
Smashed that home run, too, which frustrates me because I know that he has the potential to do that.
There's a lot there.
You look at his...
There's a lot there.
You look at his size and his stature, and it's like he has everything except...
Contact.
He can't, if he makes contact, he hits it far.
Which, he's still a young player, so it'll be fun to see, like, how he develops and grows in Detroit, because, like you mentioned, he has the build. He can fly around the base path. He's a good center field because of his range, because of that speed. And the power is there as well, because he absolutely, you know, crushed that homer that he had. But he's been batting under 100 for like a couple weeks now.
Yeah, right now he is at point.
He was at like
77. Yeah, .077.
.077. I know he was at .05. So it, you know, that homer helped that. But, and even like another thing that he has as well is like, he's like, this is like a week ago, he's like top 10 in the, you know, amount of pitches that he's seeing per at bat. Like he's not like going for the fences swinging. Like he's, you know, patient, and he's watching and he's looking for his pitches. But when he gets them, he just can't put the bat to the ball. So yeah, if that can develop, he's a really fun player. But if not, I mean, it's all for nothing, because you need to put the ball to the bat. But yeah, besides that, I mean, Mark Canha had a good start to the year. It's kind of cooled off a little bit. But I mean, there's not really a lot of players to bring up on this team so far. They're 10-8. They're doing their thing. They'll be in the AL Central hunt. So will three other teams. It'll be really close. Those three other teams being the Twins, the Guardians, and the Royals, who have Bobby Witt Jr., who is just lightning. But yeah, I mean, if there's nothing else you want to talk about, Matt, I mean, that's all As we're getting into the swing of the MLB season,
can bring up Mr. Javi Baez.
Oh, do we want to talk about him?
I do.
Okay.
I really do, because
what do you want to talk
about?
Oh
my God. What a horrible
signing.
Horrible signing. Horrible player. Horrible everything.
He's not good at baseball anymore. He's not. Like,
and it was
151 average, 5 RBIs, a homer, 383 on base.
I'd like to go on the record and say that I called that homer prior to the game starting, because I did attend that game and I said that Baez was going to go.
Oh, right. That was that game that he. Oh, yeah.
There you go. But anyway, he's just, I can't. Words cannot put. I cannot put words together to explain how disappointed I am.
How frustrating it is to watch Javi. And because of how much money that the Tigers gave them.
And then him.
They're going to be tied into him for probably the season. They're not going to be able to drop
him. And then him having the goal to say that the booing from the fans is not helping him in any way.
I'm sure, but you deserve it, Javi.
They're not booing you to help you.
No.
They're booing you because you swing at every slider to ever be thrown low in the dirt in human history.
Every pitcher that goes against you knows exactly what type of pitch to throw.
And they do it, and it works every time.
He never learns. You would think you would hear the booing, and he's like, you know what? Maybe I should change what I'm doing. No, I'm going to blame the fans. It's the fans' fault for booing me. It's not, you know, my fault for not being good at the sport.
Yeah, it's just been... It's so frustrating. It really is.
Very frustrating. It's hard to describe to non-Tiger fans how frustrating.
I think they know. I think non-Tigers fans know.
Do you think they know?
The other day when he swung at a slider that landed in the dirt, I could say that about any Tigers game. It got posted on Barstool. It got posted on MLB's Twitter.
Yeah, that is true.
People know how bad this is. And I don't really understand how you can consistently fall for that trick every single time without making any adjustments, because you looked early on in the season.
He can't be that smart. Does he have like his IQ, like, you know, available to look?
Not sure, but early on in the season, you could see he kind of tweaked his batting stance a little bit, and I thought, because I said this during spring training, his batting stance was a little different when we were talking about it. His leg kick was less. He put a little more weight on his back foot, maybe it looked like, because it just looked a little different, a little less wide, and I thought maybe he was trying to kind of, I don't know, do something.
Do some type of change, yeah.
He started off the season doing that, and it wasn't working. Then he went back to his old batting style, and that is also not working. So, with that said, I don't know. If he keeps this up, I would love to see him as a... Just get rid of him. Please get rid of him.
I just don't know if they're going to get rid of him because of the amount of... I don't know exactly how much money they would have to give up.
I know, but
I
feel like there's a point where you have to just bite it, you know?
I fully agree.
I don't think they will, but...
They need to.
You have to.
Because, like, there's other players that are on the bench, like... Even though maybe they're not the best, it's just like they are better than Javi Baez. Like Javi is the worst hitter on this team, and he's getting paid like he's the best hitter on this team. So, yeah, that's gonna do it for MLB. Unless you have anything more you want to talk about?
No, not really. Yeah,
they're just doing their thing. 18 games of the season. Like we still have like 90% of the season left. It's a very long season. So. Yeah, on to some college baseball. MSU baseball, they won 12-2 against Western. That's the only games they played in the last week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, okay. It was... what was it called? Clash.
They have a series name? It was in Jacksonfield.
Trying to think of the name here.
Crosstown Showdown?
It was not the Crosstown Showdown. That's we don't talk about the Crosstown Showdown.
That's the Lansing Lions.
Nothing happened that day.
Nothing happened.
At all.
But we're both scrambling to find it because I did not know that they had one.
It does have... It did have a name, and it was a in-state rival, technically speaking, Western Michigan versus Michigan State.
Capital Clash.
What it was. They played it at Jackson Field in Lansing, home of the Lugnuts. Shout out.
Shout out, Lugnuts.
There's not much to say. I mean, they've beat this team 3 times out of 3 this year. The team as a whole has really struggled, to put it lightly.
Yeah, you could say that.
I don't know. I mean, at this point, it's just kind of try to grow.
Watching this team, what's their record?
I'm not sure.
It is not 500. surprise, surprise. It is worse than that. But yeah, I mean, we are not going to talk about the Purdue series because I do not want to talk about the Purdue series. You can look it up if you want to. Michigan State is 15-19. That's about right. Yeah,
that's about right.
Honestly, we just wanted to mention that because we're both, you know, we care about this MSU baseball team, but it's not giving us a lot to talk about. So, some other MSU stuff, basketball wise, AJ Hogard, he informed Izzo that if he comes back to college, because he is in the draft process, but he does have college eligibility, if he comes back to college, it will not be with MSU. So, first things first, good luck, AJ, wherever you are. If you go pro, if you stay in college, anywhere, like, good luck. Thank you for, you know, being a Spartan, for giving it your all sometimes. do you think this is a good or bad thing for this team?
I think it's a very good thing.
For our team.
Not in the sense that I don't like Hogard, because I do, and I appreciate what he did, for the most part.
I think it's a good thing for both parties involved.
Yeah, I do think that, because Izzo, the way this got announced pretty much was Izzo said it on a...
He got asked on a radio show.
Yeah, talk radio.
Hey, yeah, he has a talk radio show.
7:30 a.m., The Game is the name of the radio station.
So early.
I'm looking at it right.
Is that early, or are we just college kids? 7:30? I know people got their, like, commutes and stuff, but oh my God.
But, yeah. The way that he put it was kind of, Izzo pretty much said, I think, somewhere along the lines of, Hogard has exhausted his time at Michigan State.
That's a good way to put it.
That
is a good way to put it.
Was kind of a, you know, kind of felt like an Izzo putting his foot down kind of thing, because he also did mention that he has young guys now. He also did mention that, which was...
need and deserve playing time.
So, with that said, I just do think that this is an overall really good thing for both. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just didn't seem like, especially in this last year, it didn't seem like that Izzo-Hogard connection was working at all.
Not really. Izzo's known for having really, you know, a good connection, you know, with his guards, and just wasn't like that with AJ for, well, you know, whatever reason.
I don't know. I think him and, you know, Sissoko also leaving is ultimately better for this basketball team as a whole. I think they kind of needed that fresh palate to kind of reset and do what they need to do. They're targeting transfers, which is great. They have a lot of young talent right now that we all know of, that we all saw flashes of last season.
You know their names. Trey Holloman. Jeremy Fears, Jaden Akins, if he comes back. Like, there's really quality guards on this team that if AJ were to come back and, you know, go back to a starting role like he had last season, you're just going to have guards that deserve to play that are just not going to be able to play. So, in that way, it's good for MSU. And I think if you look at it from AJ's perspective, this fan base has not been kind to him, especially recently. You know, you can argue that he deserves the criticism, and he doesn't personally. I think it's kind of weird when you're talking to a college kid like that. I know he's older, but he's still a college kid. But I think for him just to, you know, go to a new college or go pro or something like that, leave East Lansing and, you know, get a new leaf, a new fresh start. I think that's good for AJ. I think that could be good for his, you know, his play, for him, you know, just in general.
Yeah, I'm just kind of looking at some of the stuff right now, and it's pretty much, everyone's pretty much saying the same thing as you are pretty much, you know, good luck in your future endeavors, but we don't really necessarily need him back.
Yeah, we are not, I say we as fan base, we're not connected to MSU. We are not losing sleep over. Like, thank you, AJ, but it's time to move on for both sides. Yep. 100%. All right, last thing before we head out, I got to talk about it. I know I'm more into it than you are, Matt. NFL draft, week from today. And I cannot be more pumped for the draft. I love the draft so much. I've done 5 mocks for Impact And it's been great. Is there anything you want to talk about specifically in the draft? Any questions you have? Anything you want to talk about? I know you're not, you know, as into it as me, but that's not really saying anything because I'm kind of a sicko when it comes to this stuff. But.
I mean, I don't know. You've done some good work with your mocks. I mean, for those listening, go check it out.
If you want to.
If you want to.
Three-round, 100 picks up on the site right now, 5.0, if you want to read it.
But anyway, I will be there. I will be in attendance as a spectator watching the draft unfold, seeing what happens will be interesting. I'm interested to see what the Lions are going to do, especially.
It's going to be late. Unless Brad Holmes moves up, which he's done, you know, two times now, it will be late. 29th. Like, that's like 11:30, like, type of pick. Like, that's late in the night. Maybe in the morning. We'll see. Sometimes these first rounds, well, not always these first rounds, just take so long. Like, it's like 15 minutes per pick, 20 minutes per pick, especially the first, like, four picks is going to be an hour, hour and a half, 100%. So, but yeah, it's going to be super exciting to see what happens, who goes where, you know, winners, losers, look at some of the team fits for the players. And yeah, like, you're going to be there. I will be there as well. I think we have some other friends from Impact that are also going to be there. It's going to be a really good time. It's the first time they've been to Detroit, probably ever, for the draft. You know, cool NFL stuff doesn't happen like this much in Detroit, so it's going to be a really, really, really fun time. But unless you have anything else you want to touch on, Matt, anything else going on?
Just on the topic of Detroit football, the new uniforms got leaked.
Oh, did they?
They did. Here, if you want to see them off of my screen, they're pretty clean, kind of a...
Oh, so it's just like a throwback thing.
It is kind of a throwback, but...
Okay.
You know, yeah. Obviously,
that's fine.
People listening cannot see, but it is sort of... You will see it eventually, obviously, once they release the video. And there is a black jersey, which people have been wanting for a
very long time.
Kind of.
I'm not even a Lions fan, and I know Lions fans.
And then the other two are... kind of a throwback, kind of a modern spin on their older jerseys.
Like, think of what Barry Sanders was wearing when he was running. It's similar to that. It's like a throwback, and I think that was the right direction to go with it.
Yeah, and then
they look clean. They do look clean.
Obviously the helmet and pants and stuff have not been, because those will come out when the actual video comes out, and that has not released yet.
When's the video? It's really soon, right?
It is sometime today. Of course, you guessed it. Fanatics accidentally leaked the jerseys.
Oh, don't you say.
So, but yeah, I mean, I think that this is kind of indicative of the direction this team is kind of heading towards now. It's a fresh new
start
look for them.
Fresh new look. I think getting new jerseys, because this feels like a new era of the Lions, I think it was a good call.
Yeah, so that was just kind of a little tidbit that I wanted to.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I did not know that they had leaked, and pretty relevant. So yeah, if you want to check those out, if you got Twitter, just look up, like, you know, Detroit Lions leak or something like that, or just wait for the actual video that the Lions produced and will release.
Because they did make a video, they did post a video.
Watch the video. They worked on it. Watch the video.
I believe
whenever it comes out.
I forget who it was. One of the Lions linemen, they posted like a video on their social media page, and he was just kind of like, thank you for whoever leaked the video.
Thank you.
We appreciate you ruining our hard work. The video will be out soon.
Yeah.
Something
like
so.
All of the production team for the Lions, like, I'm sorry. You know, you're working on this video, and then it's just like, oh, someone just. It was Fanatics that leaked
thank
it
you
themselves.
Again. Thank you again, Fanatics, for.
Shout out, Fanatics. We love
finding
them. We love
new
Fanatics.
Ways to ruin uniforms.
We love Fanatics over here at Impact. We love him. Love him. But anyways, so I think it's gonna, you know, that's gonna do it for us here. From me, Jack, and Matt. Thank you for listening. Thank you for this year. Hopefully we'll be back next year. We'll have to say this is the last episode of this semester. But anyways, I hope everyone has a good rest of your day, and we will see you when we see you.
by